now rotate from the shoulder slowly.
Funky butt loving.
Did he say funky butt loving?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast.
Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com, HMBRadio.com, Facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast, Home_Made_Man on Twitter, Home_Made_Man on Instagram. There's so many places you could find me if you really wanted to. But anyways, whoa, sorry, that was kind of an abrupt ending there. How are you? My name is Will Koontz, host of this here program, The Homemade Broadcast. If you didn't know what it was called already, now you know. Good to have you, as always. I have some good news to report today, which is that I don't have ball cancer. It was very exciting, very trying time. I had an ache in my groin region towards the left side, if you catch my drift, for like 3 weeks, and I didn't even really know that I had that. Like, I knew that I had it, but it really came to the conclusion, like, wow, I've had this little ache there for, like, 3 weeks now. So my first thought was, oh, my God, I have ball cancer, and I'm going to die. So do I go to the doctor? I'm afraid to go to the doctor. I don't really want to do that, but I also have health insurance right now. So I better take advantage of that, because who knows how long that's going to happen. So I just stepped up like a grown man and made the appointment for today. And I went in at 11 o'clock, and the doctor told me to pull down my pants, which I did. I was wearing shorts, so it was a little weird, and he just told me to hold up my shirt, checked for, it was weird, like he told me everything that he was doing, I guess, which is what you're supposed to do to, like, get consent, I guess, which is what you have to do now with everything like that. But I'm going to check your right side for the groin, and go ahead and give me a cough. Did that. Okay, that side looks good. I'm going to check your left side. Go ahead and cough for me. And I did that, and then he went ahead and said, okay, now I'm going to cup your testicle here, and is everything okay? Is it a little tender? It's a little tender. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. Okay, all right. You're fine. You don't have anything wrong with you. So that was refreshing. So apparently I might have an infection of some kind, not an STD from my understanding, because if I had that, I would know, because it is a, you know, you get stuff comes out, and it's very painful, apparently, from what he said, not just a dull ache. So, realistically, I rolled over on my ball when I was sleeping, is what happened, and didn't know it, and that's what's going on. He gave me an antibiotic, but I don't even really want to. I don't want to take antibiotics if I don't need to, so I'm not going to. I feel like I have it if I need it, if it progressively gets worse. But you know way too much about my testicles now, and I'm sorry that you had to hear all that. This podcast is sponsored, by the way, and it is sponsored by Slybar. Check out why I Love the Berg is named Slybar one of the top 15 businesses to watch in the year 2015, according to iloveTheBerg.com. Great folks over there. Joe and Lauren got really cool events. We're going to get ready to do our lip sync battle, I think the third Thursday of November, so make sure you come out for that. And the next open mic is this Tuesday, October 27th. And that will be at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. $50 cash prize for the open mic, free pizza, the whole lot. It's free, you know, to watch, free to perform. Got to buy your own beers, but it is well worth it. So come out and check us out October 27th. And I'll have more info about, you know, the lip sync battle when that happens next month. But that was a lot of fun, too. And I'm glad we're continuing to do that. We also have some, I might have a gig doing some trivia down in Largo that myself and probably Andrew Silas will be taking the nights that I can't do it. That's going to be at Barley Mow, but that's all way too early. I don't even know if this is really happening yet, so I have to wait to hear back on that. Shouldn't have even brought it up because it's not in stone. And then I'm going to look like a liar if it didn't, if it doesn't happen. So anyways, and also Angelo's. Angelo supplies the pizza for us at the open mic, 536 First Avenue North, saintpizza.com. You can get a hold of those people. Go get yourself some wings or pizza when you get all boozed up on a Friday or Saturday night and you need something to refresh your body. It's not really going to refresh your body, but it will soak up all those toxins that are floating around from your lifestyle choices. So, yeah, I guess that's it. We covered my testicles, and we did the reads for this time and place in this program. So today is we got an old friend, James Bailey, is here, comedian. He's here for a reason. And also we have Mike Morris, is a comedian here in the Bay Area as well. So Mike's kind of the real guest. But James is here because James is going to be joining the Homemade Broadcast, I guess, network now. You're going to be able to find James's new program called Your Mom's Favorite Podcast, hosted by James Bailey. You're going to be able to find it right on the Homemade Broadcast feed, on the RSS feed. So if you subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and all those types of things, you'll be able to get access to his podcast. And we are certainly very excited to have James Bailey. I am very excited to have James Bailey here on the Homemade Broadcast Network now. So Radio St. Pete listeners, make sure you subscribe to HMB Radio on iTunes and Stitcher, or it's called the Homemade Broadcast. HMBRadio.com is the website where you can also listen for extra content. So I'm going to let James. James actually just went out to go get Mike. So through the magic of radio, we're going to pause real quick, and then I'm going to let James say a few words about joining this new venture here, and then we'll have Mike Morris sitting in. And then, ironically enough, James's first guest on his Your Mom's Favorite Podcast is none other than Mike Morris. So it all works out very well. A lot of Mike Morris coming on the feeds this week. So without further ado, Mike Morris featuring James Bailey here on the Homemade Broadcast. Here, sit down, Mike.
Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Well, this will, you want to do your thing now, since
yeah,
he's doing?
Yeah, we'll start. Last door.
Last door on the
door that looks like a bathroom door.
This is your mic.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Sorry.
I was just making sure I had my headphones on. Right. Yeah, turn me up in the headphones, B.
All right, Mike Morris is sitting here next to me now. We just talked for a good, probably 15 minutes, I would say, without it recording. But now we are recording, so prepare to tell your story all over again. Mike Morris is a comedian here in the Bay Area. So tell me about your first time doing comedy.
I would just laugh if everything was actually recorded and they're going to have to sit through this again. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. The first time I got on stage, I crushed it. No. See, inside jokes. You don't know the inside story of how we just ranted about
man.
First time doing comedy, it was April 1st, 2012 at Sidesplitters, and It was at the insistence or suggestion of my friend. Months prior had said, you know, I listened to a lot of comedy satellite radio, and I think you're funnier than them. And it was like, came from really high source of praise for me, because I thought that all my friends are funnier than me. And so little by little I started writing down funny ideas and what I thought would be good. And around New Year's of that year, my friend had a party. He said, hey, why don't you tell some jokes for us? Because he knew I was trying to get into comedy. And I was like, let me see how much time I have. And I was very meticulous about, you know, counting how long it took to take all these jokes I had cobbled together. And when I realized, oh, I have a little over 5 minutes. That works. And so I tried it out. And my friends, being generous, gave me a few laughs. I was like, all right, I think I can try this. And
how many people were there during this first time with your buddies? And did you, like, literally stand up in front of them? Or
Yeah, there was about a dozen people. And, yeah, it was at his house, and it was just on, like, his porch. And just, he say, you know, here's Mike. It's, you know, he didn't have the – it wasn't like a professional type of setup, because he's going to, you know.
Did you have a microphone that wasn't plugged in? Did you have anything?
I don't think – no, I don't think it was a microphone. I think
like
it just stood up.
Like a TV remote or a hairbrush?
Well, the hairbrush, of course.
Some sort of phallic symbol.
I wasn't holding the hairbrush, but that's another story altogether.
Well, not with your hands.
Exactly.
let's save the blue stuff for mine, okay?
Yeah. But the you're the one who brought it up.
Did you time it? Did you have a timer that you're like, I'm going to do 5 minutes in front of you guys so I can kind of know what I'm getting in for when I go to the club, so I have my time right and everything like that?
I don't think I think I recorded it, and that was part of what I did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I recorded it. I don't know if I still have it or not, but I recorded it knowing it was about 5 minutes, and then also to gauge the reaction from my friends about the different jokes, and went from there. And then I did. I had the first time I recorded it, and then also my friend Lane, who first suggested I start comedy, was recording with his camera phone in the back. And so he has that valuable piece of evidence I need to destroy at some point. So.
Does he still have it? Is it available?
I don't know. I hope not. Hopefully it's got lost in the – I don't know. It might be on the cloud. Yeah, you're right. Oh, it's on the cloud. I've got worse evidence of him, again, not appropriate for a clean podcast, but
ish.
So you did that, and this was 3 years ago you started, right?
Correct.
I don't remember if we spoke on this when it was recording or not, but you started 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, so that you were, and you're 36, you said.
36,
so you started when you were 33 years old.
Correct.
Which is a little, usually people start, I went when I was 16 or 18.
Yeah, I'm on the Rodney plan.
Yes.
I'm hoping to be good.
Yeah, is that when he started?
No, I just say Rodney Plant because he didn't really make it big until he was later in life.
Well, he was older.
No, he started earlier. He started when he was in his 20s or 30s, but he quit to take care of his family. And he sold siding on the side of the road, but he was still writing jokes the entire time. He was working on it, but I joke about that just because he wasn't popular until his like 50s or 60s. And so I just think, oh, well, you're never too late. But I started also with a lot of different things. I was behind the times because I was 33. I also had braces at the time.
Oh, my gosh, really?
So I had the awkwardness.
Your teeth do look good now.
Well, thank you. $8,000 into it. Yeah. So thank you. And I smile everywhere, even at funerals, just because I paid for it. I'm not wasting this smile. But, yeah, so I started off here as awkward, you know, and that's before I had the beard, so I looked 12, and then I had braces, and then so I'm like, yeah, and that's like some of my first jokes were like, hey, I'm 33 years old, and I have braces, and
everyone just started laughing.
Yeah, and people were like, what? You know, and then it was good because I remember one of the local comics, Krishna, he was hosting the open mic at the time, and he made a reference, and he laughed at and made a reference to one of the jokes I made about my braces, because he's like, which made me feel good that someone who had been doing it for a while laughed at something I did for the first time. So I was like, all right. And that became one of my staples of my jokes and my act. And
can I tell the story about my buddy Brett?
Go for it.
When me and Mike first started hanging out, we did a show together and we had been drinking, and Mike doesn't drink like I used to drink. So he was not capable of driving. I'm like, dude, just come over to my house, crash on my couch.
Krause?
Like, shush.
Did you have a stroke, man?
I did. A little mini one.
He's a little bit of German in there.
I need more medication. He came over to my house, crashed on my couch, and the next day my buddy comes over, and we're all hanging out or whatever, and we go, me and my friend go on the porch to smoke a cigarette, and Mike's in the house with, like, his no beard and his braces, and my buddy's like, dude, when did you start hanging out with college kids? I'm like, man, that dude's older than both of us. It's just hilarious. Like, he's like, dude, that's a college kid. I'm like, no, he's got like 2 years on either me or you, so he's not a college kid.
Yeah. Well, you look good for your age. Well,
thank you.
I thought you were in your late 20s, early 30s. So yeah.
So imagine clean shaven, how much younger I look.
Yeah, you're going to be.
I've carded a couple weeks ago when I bought beer, and the guy, he's like, just carded me, and I don't think about it. Cause to me, that'll probably people like argue about being carded. It takes longer to argue about how old you are than to just show your picture and move on. Like, how much more of your life are you going to waste like trying to prove your identity?
Well, you take offense to it when you're 22, 23. You take offense to being carded. But now I definitely don't mind. And I understand, too, because they always do like stings and stuff down here where they get fined at the yin yang
for,
you know,
jail.
But
to me, it's the time. Like, how much is your time worth that you're spending arguing about who you are? It's like, I just pretend like I'm a secret agent. It's like, oh, yes, see my ID. Yeah.
I'm more worried about stalkers. Like, whoever is carding me is going to quickly memorize my address and then start stalking me. That's why I don't like being.
No, they know your address. You're one of the little red dots on the phone as to where to avoid.
I am not one of those red dots, but we're going to talk about red dots later. But I'm not one of those red dots. I'd like to say that all of mine have been over 18 since I've been 18. That's one rule that I don't have a lot of rules when it comes to my conquest, but that's one of them. You got to be legal.
Yeah, you see how quickly he had that like in the can. Yeah. Will, he just has that right there. It's been questioned before.
Look, they may not be awake, but they're legal.
I know how James is because he was flirting really hard with this little 18-year-old girl.
No, I wasn't. I actively avoided her.
Why? She was cute, man. You're a single guy. She's 18.
She's closer in age to my daughter than she is to me.
So what?
My daughter's 16. I cannot. If you're 2 years away from my daughter, and I'm twice her age. I am literally in 2 months will be twice her age, and she is 2 years older than my daughter. That's gross.
This is what comedians do. This is the life they lead. They abuse young females and let their ovaries dry up, and then they dump them at 29, and then they go find.
Yeah, but I'd rather start with them at 22. I feel way less gross if I start with them 20. And that's not even. That's still kind of borderline for me. 26 is my cutoff age.
I thought the formula was half your age plus 7. Wasn't that the formula?
Yeah. That's the formula, which is 25.
Yeah, is it?
For me, yeah.
I've also heard 5 under or 5 over is okay, too. Meaning if you're 30 and you're dating a 25-year-old, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Or if you're 35, that's cool, too.
I like the half my age plus 7 because otherwise I'm only dating 30-year-olds, and I'd still like to think I could pull a 25-year-old if I had to.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that.
I mean, I dated a 20-year-old. That was the last girlfriend I had. That was like a year ago.
And you have better hair, but I'm much cuter in the face.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Hey, you know, it's all style and
it's the lips,
preference.
Man. It's the lips. I have the big pouty lips.
You got those big Mexican lips of yours.
I'm going to cut you, which is much more Puerto Rican than Mexican.
Like,
but I'm actually black, so I'll steal your laptop afterwards.
Sure you are, James. Sure you are. Anyways, Mike, so you started comedy 3 years ago. How many times a week do you usually go hit an open mic? You're usually at Sly Bar. Well, actually, you were not at Sly Bar for like a month. Or 6 weeks, and then you came back, I think, the last time.
Yeah, the irregularity of it and then the intimidation of it. I got to say that place is – I'm trying to get over that hurdle.
I don't do any time at Sly Bar.
Yeah.
I don't. I got – John Jay gave me some crap about that, and my rationale is, well, it's my open mic, and if I suck that particular night, I don't want people to be like, this guy sucks. I don't want to go to a stupid open mic. I know that may be silly. Hmm. But and it's also it's not about me. The open mic is to support the podcast, and I want to be able to support you guys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But and I'm not an aggressive comedian. Meaning I'm not going 3 nights a week. Mm-hmm. I'll go maybe once a month.
Yeah.
And if I just want to do something, and I feel like that's kind of frowned upon too in the community because either do it or don't type of thing.
Well, I respect the fact that if you're not ready to work out material or you are afraid that your material might bring down the quality of the show, stepping down is a very honorable thing, and it's awesome that you're doing it for the comedians. I think that's a more selfless act than that. I think there's a lot of the comics that may start a room just so they can do time, which is the same thing I would do, too. It's nothing against that. But if, when you consider the audience for a show, that's a lot better for the show, I think. It's that's a good thing, you know. And I'm the type that just because I enjoy it doesn't mean that everyone else has to enjoy it to the same level I enjoy something, you know. And so I like getting up there, you know, 3-4 times a week to get better at it. I mean, I dread it a lot of times too, because I have a room, when there is a room like Sly where I just never do well at, I go, I want to conquer it, but then it can be a drag. And if I get too stressed out about it, then I go, well, why am I doing this? If this isn't fun, I shouldn't, because that's going to come across on stage. If I'm just not having a good time, you know, I don't want to see someone miserably telling jokes, so why would I do that? So I'm trying to be considerate of the audience too. But, yeah, there's a lot of times it feels like get along with people. With other comics, you get along because it kind of has this camaraderie, almost like as if we've gone through war together, because we've suffered through. And you get up there and eat so much crap on stage, you bomb so much. I mean, all those terms, bombing, killing, all these things that you refer to as comedy.
It's violence.
It's aggressive thing, sure, like you against the audience. Yep. And so you have that feeling of like, and so I think there's people when they're working so hard at their craft, and they see someone else who's not working as hard, they take it as an insult, because it's like, oh, you're walking on to this war and trying to get the awards, you're going to get the blue ribbon, or trying to get the blue ribbon. Like, that's something else. I'm mixing my metaphors up here, but you're going on and you're trying to get accolades for something when you didn't even put all the time in. But I'm like, that's an unfair thing to assign. Like, put into it what they get into it, and people who work at it are going to get better, and people who don't aren't, you know. And so, you know,
I wonder what the because the audience is one thing, but also I feel like another big struggle is your fellow kinsmen, your fellow people who are on your team, mm-hmm. meaning not on your team, but the other comics, can be even harder, can be more intimidating than an audience, because they all have this weird. My theory is that all comics are mentally ill narcissists.
In a way, I agree.
Something wrong with them, where and they're not very nice, and there's a lot of fake niceness around. You are, but you also medicate a lot.
Yeah,
I think that has something. If we were talking before Mike got here, you said you don't think you could not medicate yourself, or you would do something terrible. I don't know what that meant.
I don't think, like, I would do something terrible. Like,
you'd have an 18-year-old girlfriend.
I'm sorry?
You'd have an 18-year-old girlfriend if you didn't smoke.
Yeah. Like, I would... I don't know if I would do something like, you know, did you hear about James? He cut up 8 nuns and buried them in, you know, behind the hot trailer he lives in. Like, I don't think I would do something like that, but, like, I would say the awfulest things to people. Like, just be like, hey, why are you doing comedy? You suck. You should go kill yourself. Seriously, let me go buy you a rope. And, like, I would buy people rope to go hang themselves and, like, egg them on, like, follow them around. Like, come on, you gonna do it? You gonna do it? I wanna watch. Kill yourself, you piece of... dog feces.
Nice. Good catch, James. Proud of you, buddy. You got a future in broadcasting, my friend. Yeah. But do you guys understand what I'm saying, though? Because I've noticed a lot of... I have a really good... My gut is really good. I can read people really well. Mm-hmm. I know if people are being genuine or not.
Right.
And I would say it's about... Most everybody are great here. 80%. Are really just good.
80% of the comics are good people.
Good,
you
people
mean?
In their hearts. And good. I would say
I that's a close number. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
20-25% are phonies, and they will take what they can get out of you. And there's a lot of fake humbleness that I see on social media and stuff like that. And I just know it's phony.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're fishing for. Oh no, you're great. Don't be so humble. They're just fishing.
Or they're girls.
I think there's an inherent insecurity with comics. There is an inherent narcissism. You have to be. You have to be a little crazy to say, oh, I can make a bunch of strangers laugh. Yes. I know I'm that funny. I can make a bunch of strangers laugh.
To even want to try.
Yeah, to try it and to go out there and, as far as. One of the things I did before I ever did the comedy is before I do a lot of things, I tend to obsess and so I will research and I'll do all kinds of things. Anytime I purchase something, I'm researching it online. And with comedy, I did the same thing. And I went online and Googled, like, well, what's the typical way to do this? How do you start this? How do you do this? And all this. And one of the things I said was that they were like, prepare yourself for that comedy is a very cutthroat market, and that people are there, and you're going to deal with this. You have to really thicken your skin. You go in there, and I found the opposite. I found when I went into comedy, I was trying to get along with people, and And for most part, I mean, I really supportive. I've been overwhelmed with support from a bunch of comics that when they see that you're taking it seriously, you know, that you're putting in time and trying to work better at, you know, work at your jokes, get better at jokes, performing the jokes and do that because, you know, I went in full force. And for most of the time, I've been at it full force. You know, I have some dips, like I said, that whenever I feel like I'm not in a good mood for it, or if I'm not doing this, I mean, there's a lot of it I did that was kind of like training. Like I would do, like you would do sit ups to get in shape. You know, you're like, I don't want to do the sit ups today, or I don't want to do the push ups today, but I was doing it like boot camp, going, well, I'm just going to go through and just do my jokes and just do my jokes, and I'm going to get better. But I found that a lot of comedians, you know, James is one of the first people that was really supportive. John J. Murray is one of the first people that really supportive, and just a lot of people that just like saw that I was working at it, trying to get better, and were there, and it's like, yes. And
you just had the one joke that I like that you don't even do anymore, which just breaks my heart.
Well, I do it, and I don't do it at the same time.
Yes!
See, I call
all
back
right,
to
my
it.
Heart's unbroken. Yeah, we're good again.
Physics jokes. He loves those.
I love physics jokes. No, I don't seem like a very smart person. I'll admit that, but I love, like, really intelligent, like...
Well, for a Mexican guy, no, I'm teasing. I'm teasing you.
You know I can take you, right?
I don't. Come on. Oh, I don't know about that.
I've been to county jails.
I have too. I got my peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I got the ham, the piece of cheese wrapped up in cellophane, like on top of the bread.
I gave mine to a bum because I was like, I'm sick to my stomach. I can't eat. I'm afraid.
Oh no! I was like, I'm gonna be in here for a while. I need my calories.
Yeah.
No, you could beat me up, James. I'll say that. If you really wanted to, you could probably beat me up.
See, his phrasing was take you, so...
Oh, you meant like
Mike,
that.
Wait, no, I did not. Mike, stop it.
You rewind the tape, and he said,
no,
I could
he
take
knew
you.
What I meant. Everything that I say, Mike you know, tries to find inappropriateness
I just
in it.
Point
every
out.
Single thing that I say. No, because you are the only one that went there. Me and Will were on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you guys, since we're talking about this, and by the way, Mike Morris is a Tampa Bay comedian here in the area. He's joining me on the Homemade broadcast, and James Bailey is here for some reason. No, he's here for a reason.
I'm really bored and lonely.
I don't know if we caught the James's intro, but James is going to be joining us on the new Homemade Broadcast Network. I'm doing things with my fingers. Where we're going to be producing other podcasts and broadcasts for local comedians here. And James is your mom's favorite podcast?
My mom's favorite podcast. That's going to be the name of it. It's my mom's favorite podcast.
Okay, my mom's favorite podcast. So not my – oh, I see what you did there. So it could be – even though I'm saying it, then it would be my mom. So my mom would still like your podcast.
Your mom loves my podcast.
She does.
Your mom loves my podcast.
I bet she does. She's a married woman, James. Be nice. Mm. But anyway, so Mike's here.
She just likes me in her ear, that's all.
Who can blame her?
My podcast.
Mm.
All she hears is mariachi music.
God, I hate you so much. I almost am okay with other rumors right now.
So Mike, you've been doing comedy for a long time, 3 years. I guess not a long time. What do you think is the most important thing for people who want to get involved in comedy should know? From your 3 years of experience, what would be your advice to maybe somebody that's listening that always wanted to try or something?
Do it.
That's the easiest. It.
Do it. There's, put up or shut up kind of thing. It's if you want to do comedy, then you do it. And if you don't, you don't. I mean, there's so many ones that I used to ask that advice for professional comedians after I saw a show. I asked them advice, and there were some good ones. Anthony Jeselnik, if I can name drop, said, write, like write all the time because you'll be better than anyone. And then the best one I got was from Doug Stanhope, who said, don't take advice from anyone because all they're going to do is want you to do it the way they want to do it. You know, just have fun with it, you know? And so that's something I kind of took to heart is the idea of like, yeah, you know, you just have to do it, you know? It was also something that one of the times when I saw Greg Fitzsimmons, I asked him, like, what's your advice? And I was asking him not advice on comedy because I just kept getting the same answers. I was like, well, what do you do when you get discouraged? He's like, well, you know, it doesn't get any better. And it doesn't get any easier. So you either do it or don't. If you don't like it, don't do it. And at the time, my sensitive comic side was like, oh no, Graves and Simmons told me to quit comedy. I guess I'll never make it. And then I realized later on, after it sank in, I said it was really one of the best, like, dad-like advice. It's like, you don't like it. You know, it's like that joke of the doctor, you know, it's like, doctor, it hurts my arm just like this. Don't do your arm like that. You know, it is, if you don't like it, don't do it. And if someone's, you know, you're going to do it or not. If someone tells you, don't you do comedy, don't you ever do comedy, and you want to do it, you're going to do it. If you don't want to do it and someone says, just do this, you're not going to do it. So if you want to do comedy, do comedy.
There's a lot of bad comedians out there that still work very hard at trying to be good, still bad. Randy Holden's a great example.
I wasn't going to drop his name. I wasn't either.
But you know what? Before you trash him, I'm not going to trash him, though.
Let me finish my thought before you say anything, because that guy shows up to open mics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoys himself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a secret to Randy Holden either what he is. he knows exactly. I saw one thing where there was some controversy. One of the Sarasota guys, which I've never met, but I see he's pretty active on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was at the Dunedin Brewery one day, and Randy went up, and then Matt Fernandez followed him. And then Matt said something.
Oh,
No. That was not about Randy Holden. That was about, I'll name drop since we dropped Randy Holden. It was Dave Apalafa, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
That was the guy then.
He said something horrible.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. No, he's the one that said it, but it was about one of his friends. It was not about Randy Holden. It was about one of his – and that dude was worse than Randy Holden. Like, that dude was garbage.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It wasn't about Randy.
Because I was there that night, and, like, that dude literally like, when I say he killed the crowd, I don't mean he killed it on stage. I mean, like, the whole crowd was just done with comedy until Matt said, well, that was awful.
Okay.
And everybody was right back in.
So that pretty much – it still doesn't affect my point of what I'm saying, which is somebody mentioned Randy's name. And
contribution, James.
And Randy said, I don't remember exactly, but he laughed it off and was like, yeah, I know what I am. You know, I got the impression that he knew what the deal was. And as long as he has a good time doing it, I love to have him. He's a legend. You know, he's been doing it a long time here. He's one of the guys that's been hanging out. And I'm glad that he has open mics where he's able to go and let this stuff out, because otherwise I think he would either have bodies in his closet or would be in his closet himself.
He would have a fucking smile.
James, you were doing so good. Golly.
Swear jar. You're going to put on this.
You're going on timeout. I'm turning your mic off for a little while.
No, you're absolutely right in that.
All right, go ahead, James.
I didn't finish it. I was just going to say he'd be smiling with the bodies in his closet, but I didn't finish the curse word. I just said 90% of it.
Close enough.
I said enough so they know what I was going to say, but
don't worry about it, buddy. We'll take care of it.
Take care of it in post.
It is internet radio too, so I don't have to worry. And then when we eventually do, hopefully, go over to FM, we'll have a nice little cough button in the new.
Yeah, about to say a good delay button.
Yeah. Oh, we're definitely gonna have that for sure. But it's okay, buddy. Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask you, Mike. Mike Morris is joining me, local Tampa Bay comic here on the Homemade Broadcast today. Stupid question, and I know a lot of people get asked this. Best set you ever had? Worst set you ever had?
I don't know why it's a stupid question.
I just feel like it gets asked a lot. That's one of those things.
Actually, it's the first time I've been asked that. So, worst set I've ever had was probably, I think it was my third set in. And so this is, and this was at, I always forget the name of it. I don't know why that would be, I forget. So it's not a place over by USF. It was a room that they had for a while. Not Pegasus. It was.
Who was running it?
Was it the bar, the college bar?
No, it's the bar. Yeah, I think it's a college bar, and it was off of Ashley Drive, and it was inside. It's got a nice looking stage, and it's separate from the actual sports bar area, so you wouldn't even know it's there.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that place now.
I it starts with a P, but anyway.
Peabody's,
correct. That's it. We nailed it.
It's going to drive me nuts otherwise.
Yeah, I would say same thing with me. And it was probably my third time. May have been as many as fourth time, but it was I was really excited because I had done the set at Side Splitters and gotten a few laughs, and then I'd gotten done the same set at another open mic, and this is, I come back after a weekend where I worked on new jokes, and I did the classic open micer issue of I'm trying a whole new set before I worked out.
I feel like a lot of people do this too. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but they'll be like, I'm going to do some new stuff today. And then everyone's expecting, like, I feel like that's the cue for, oh, this is not going to be good.
I get annoyed at certain people that will do that to this day and say, oh, this is a new one, before you even give the joke a time.
No, I do it after.
Yeah, yeah, and that's still pretty bad, too.
Well afterwards, if the joke bombs, I'm like, all right, so that new one didn't do well.
As we've discussed before, that kind of, it's kind of that security blanket thing of like, oh, that was a new joke, and you're like, oh, and you get a laugh out of that, and it's a cheap laugh. That's a side.
Yeah. It's a crutch, but yeah, I see how it...
Sorry you don't approve of my comedy, Michael.
It can be useful, though.
Don't get all insecure. We can hug it out, man. We can hug it out. It's fine. It's one little thing. It doesn't have to make it all about your comedy.
We'll take our pants off and hug it out later.
Whoa.
I can't wait for the next podcast. I'm going to be sitting, producing this thing, sitting quietly on the computer. I'm the Google bot, and if I need to
with
jump
the,
in.
With the Gallagher plastic over you in case anything really bad could happen.
I got to do something about the smell, though. Is going to be the real thing. So, okay, so continue. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry, Mike. We're getting thrown
digression
on the topic
by
here.
Calvin Klein. Okay. So worst set. I don't know why I'm so anxious to tell this horrible set. No, so brand new 5 minutes. I'm really excited. I have these abstract ideas that I want to try out. And I go in Peabody's, and I'm like second. No, I took the bullet spot. So I took the first spot after the host, and I went there. And to this date, the worst one ever, because it was 5 minutes of silence, not one single laugh.
Crowd,
if you ever want to time travel, do comedy and don't do well. Time stands still. And not even 5 minutes, I went over my time. Didn't see the light, went over my time, ate complete garbage. And it was horrific. And I feel bad because that was my previous Slybar, in that is a room I never conquered, never did well there. Still one of the worst sets I did ever, and it was just absolutely horrible. Now, one of the best sets ever has been a couple times at improv. I've had some good sets both on the open mic. The first time I got an applause break on the open mic felt amazing at improv, because that is a really difficult open mic to do. And then I've been on and done a guest spot on the main stage and did really well. So that those are just, that's what you go for. Those are like the golf shots. You know, you get that one good shot that you can be shooting garbage throughout the entire round and just all over the place, but that one perfect shot's what makes you come back. And that's the same thing for comedy for me, is that one good laugh joke that just hit right that makes me want to come back and do it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like too, like, I understand why, because there's a lot of bigger name comics around here as far as Tampa Bay people that don't do open mics anymore at all, which I think is ridiculous. I don't know how you practice and know what's good. I don't know if it's just a cockiness. They're like, I know that this is going to be good. I've been doing enough. But Louis C.K. will go do open mics. Yeah. Bill Burr does open mics.
Yeah.
And I know it's different here, because I feel like when you go into an open mic in the Tampa Bay area and anywhere else outside of Chicago, L.A., New York, you're not expecting much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go into like a show, though, even if it's local Tampa Bay people, they're in the mood, I'm here to see a comedy show. My mind frame is too laughing, and I know this is going to be good because they're on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But open mics, that's a whole other story. I feel like everyone's expecting terribleness.
Mm.
And usually that's what they get, generally.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame someone who writes or works out new material on a stage where with a real audience. I don't blame someone for that. I think there is something to be gained from doing open mic. I hear, you know, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts, so I hear from professionals that say they still go like to do open mics because it keeps them grounded and it does all on things. But I definitely understand the psychological appeal of people who are they get paid, they get regular gigs, and so during a regular gig they might slip in a new one in between there. And so I see the economy of time, and then the psychological element of like, oh, I don't have to worry about that complete, utter bombing feeling. I can just do it and sandwich it in between, and then I get a truer test of an audience feel for it. So whenever I do that joke on a main stage, and it's after it's been polished, But there's, and then the other side of it I see is it's kind of a disservice to the crowd, because if you're doing a show where they have paid, you should be bringing all brand new polished, not brand new, but brand, polished material. You should be doing like crafted, just the good stuff. You should be giving the best of the stuff, and work out the stuff in a room that is tougher, that is kind of like a test audience. So it's, I see both sides. As a comedian, I see the advantage of using the time and working out whenever you can and getting paid. And like I said, if you're getting paid gigs and working and doing a side gig, you know, you're doing your day job, then it doesn't make sense to take away time that might be a stage time, paid time, to do open mic, but let's work on your craft. And then as an audience member, I say, I don't want to see somebody doing newer material. And I kind of want to see someone like Louis C.K. do new material, but then I kind of rather see him do the stuff that's really hammered out.
Sure. Well, yeah. Of course. Yeah, I agree with you there. But also, I feel like if some of these other people, the bigger names around mm-hmm. here, would do open mics, it would only improve this community.
I agree.
Improve the scene. Because there's some people really good here. They're just the best in every community you have.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have those guys there that you can kind of, local, almost like local celebrity, not really.
Right, right.
But just somebody you can talk to, and there's not a lot of that here.
There's some good ones that I remember I used to. I mean, with Peabody's, it was someone where that was good for me. It can be good for the audience, because you have a good, a strong comic that's closing out the show or doing some. It was one that like Peabody's is one of the examples where J.B. Ball was there, and he always been a solid comic, and he was the way that helped me gauge my performance sometimes, because if I had a hard time and if he struggled to get laughs, I mean, he would stay up there and he would squeeze the laughs out of that room. If there was laughs to be had, he was going to squeeze it out. And so if he took a while to get them to laugh, then I go, oh, if he couldn't do it, then
that
understands. Well, no, I don't like blaming a crowd if they're attentive. Mm-hmm. If a crowd, I don't like if they're actually giving us a shot, if a crowd is there and they're listening, they're being respectful, they're not talking to each other, not texting, they're actually listening to the jokes, and they're just not liking the jokes, I can't blame them for not liking my jokes or anyone else's jokes. I can blame them if they're not even giving them a shot. And some people might say, oh, well, you have to earn it, or you have to kind of get their attention. But I don't like blaming the crowd unless they're not doing their part, so to speak, by like being an audience and being respectful, listening and giving it a thought. So I think that with him, it was a matter of like, if they just were not feeling it, either they were burned out by hearing the open micers with this unpolished material, and then he came in with stronger, because then that's what he would throw in, bits that stuff that he was using for paid gigs and stuff like that. So that was, but I agree with your original sentiment that the stronger comics, if they did more open mics, it would improve the quality of open mics, but I also can't blame them for it.
Yeah, we're just about out of time here. So I just want to say, even for a barometer, if for nothing else too, community and then being an audience barometer, some of these bigger guys.
Agreed.
Anyways, Mike, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You got social media and stuff where people can find you, website, anything?
Oh, you can find me on Facebook under Mike Morris. You can, if you really like me, you can follow me on my Twitter at @ILoveMikeMorris. And that's about it.
Very good. Mike Morris, thank you. Stay tuned.
I love Mike Morris.
James Bailey's debuting his new program, My Mom's Favorite Podcast. And his first guest, Fathom That, is going to be Mr. Mike Morris. I'm going to be sitting in a producer's chair with my mic off and probably getting the contact buzz.
And your mic
of some
on.
Kind. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We're going to get our dirty words on.
Definitely, yeah. You can curse on yours all you want.
I'm going to curse quite a bit.
You should.
We're not cursing, but 90% of the time.
I encourage you to do so. I can't wait to hear it. So, guys, thank you for coming in. Check out the open mic this Tuesday, Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, $50 cash prize, free pizza. It's a good time all around. Go subscribe to iTunes and Stitcher so you can get myself and now James's program.
My Mom's Favorite Podcast.
My Mom's Favorite Podcast, hosted by James Bailey. I almost said a Mexican joke. I was like, you know what? It's done now. I'm done with it.
Don't do that.
I'm going to wait till next week.
You're hurting my feelings.
And then I'll get you. Watch out with your immigrant. I love that joke. Anyways, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast. HMBRadio.com. Home_made_man on both Twitter and Instagrams. I take a lot of neat photographs of James Bailey when he's performing.
It was a pretty neat photograph.
Have a good week, everybody. Talk to you shortly. Goodbye.